Thank you for checking out this episode of Christianity Still Makes Sense with Dr. Bobby Conway. This is a portion of a sermon delivered at Image Church in Charlotte, North Carolina. To hear the full message, head over to imagechurch.live and click watch. Hope you enjoy.
I was talking with somebody that I saw, actually a family, at a restaurant a few months back. And as we were hanging out, just having a little chat, we didn't go to this place to eat with them, but we saw them and said, "How are you doing?" And they said, "Good." I said, "Did you end up finding a local church to be a part of?" And they said, "No, you know, we're just kind of watching church online, and that's kind of the way we've been doing it." And I said, "You know, let me encourage you. I don't want you to think I'm trying to condemn or to come off the wrong way." I said, "I just feel at this time that it's time for some of the people that have been out of church to come home." And I said, "You know, COVID came, and I get it. We all checked out for a while, and my fear is we've got too comfortable, and I don't want you to get picked off." And I said, "And I believe God's got something more for you than watching church on a television set and calling that the Christian life." And I said, "So I just want to invite you to come back." And they really received that. And I said, "I don't care if it's at Image Church, because I really don't." I said, "I'm not concerned about that for my sake. It's for you." And I'm feeling that need as a pastor, like to just say, it's time to come home. It's time to get back in a church. Like we're detached, we're disconnected, and some people have lost the habit of what it means to be a part of a collective community. And they have tried to develop in an online spirituality. And here's what happens. We are meant to gather as a church. We are the body of Christ. And that doesn't always go well in an American culture that's highly individualistic, where everybody is their own authority. I mean, you know the statements, "You do you." Please don't say that as a Christian to people. You don't want somebody to do you. Like, I've tried that. I've done me, and you know, my best thinking got me a seat in AA. Right? I mean, me doing me does not work the best, right? Or live your truth. Well, okay, so what does that mean to live your truth? Because first off, just living according to my subjective feelings is a great way to get myself in a lot of trouble. And I'm frankly not interested in living my truth. I want to know what the capital T truth is, and I want to live that. I want to live something bigger than what I think is right and what I feel is right. I arrived on human history in 1973. I can't have that much figured out. I need to depend upon some previous knowledge, some previous revelation, some previous understanding. Not only that, I don't want to just live the truth of America today, because I don't think we've got it all figured out in our culture. And I think just because people arrive in authority places as politicians on television sets doesn't mean that they care about your best future. What a lot of them care about is winning a vote, and they'll tell you whatever you want to hear to get that vote. But they're not often moral leaders trying to carve out a consistent way. They'll flap over and over again. So don't buy the lie of individualism. You do you. You live your truth. Because that is a recipe for disaster. What we're created for is community. And when God created us in his image, guess what? God is an eternal God who existed in triune community throughout all eternity. That God existed as one God in three persons, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, interconnected in a relational, eternal community. And when we were created, he created us to share community with him, to know God and to make him known. That's why you were created. Like, think about it. You're here. You were made for a purpose? And that was the question that drove me mad as a youngster before I even knew Jesus. What am I doing here? Why do I exist? Does life have meaning? How am I supposed to live my life? How do I make decisions between right and wrong? How do I not become a slave or remain a slave to my feelings and emotions? And so God, in coming to know him through his son Jesus, I would learn that I'm not meant to live alone. I'm not meant to live my truth, which was a lie. I'm not meant to do me, which was destructive. But rather, I was meant to live in community with God and his people. But what does that mean to gather together, to be part of a Christian community? Because again, a lot of us resist it. We're our authority. And if we're being honest, a church is something that can often be the thing that we fit in if there's nothing else to do. Like, I'll show up at church if there's nothing else to do, but really, I'm doing me. I'm running my own agenda. I'm living for you fill in the blank. But God's got more, and I don't know that we often believe that. I mean, what difference does it make that you came here today? I mean, you came to church today. I mean, is it going to make a difference? I mean, that's why a lot of people aren't coming back. They kind of felt like, you know, I left and my life's not all that different now that I'm out of church than when I was in it. So why bother going back? Well, it's not a problem with the church. It was a problem with how the people did church before they left church. They never figured out how to do church. So when they left church, they didn't feel the loss of it. But if you understand what it really means to be a part of the body of Christ, you can't get detached too long or you'll recognize something's off. And so I want to talk about gathering together and what that means and how that can make a difference and how to approach church. Like, for example, what not to do when you go to church. Well, let's not expose the first-time guests on the Sunday here. Hey, would you like to stand up? And oh, by the way, what is the biggest sin you've ever committed? You know, we want to be vulnerable here. Would you step up and just share with us, right? I mean, we don't want to do that. There's things not to do. But there's a way to approach church, too. And I think we can, when we gather, like if I'm just trying to give you advice, like think about this. Have you ever asked the question, how do I go to church? Can I just give you some thoughts like that? Just before we get in the text, like, how do you go? Can I just say, what if you decided to try and show up early and stick around a little bit afterwards to connect, right? And what if when you came in, you realized, I'm not going to church as you're driving because I'm going to listen to a message or sing a few songs, but rather I'm praying on my way to church, like my wife and I, like many times through the years, or with the family, we're driving, I just start praying on the way. Lord, just work through the church, and we're just having family prayer on the way to church, or we're praying. Like, what would it look like, men that are married, if you led your family in that way, on the way to church? We're about to step into church, and I want to say a prayer right now. And what's it going to look like? How are we going to just roll our sleeves up? How are we going to just be aware of what's going on? Husbands, what would that look like for you to pray with your wives, to be intentional when you show up? Or if you're single, what would that look like when you show up in church to kind of go, you know what, I'm going to look for the person that I've never met before, and I'm going to walk up and I'm going to shake their hand, or I'm going to look for that first-time guest, and I'm just going to introduce myself. Or I'm going to find that person that looks stressed out or hurting, and I'm going to ask if I can pray for that person. Or I'm going to be available if there's needs that are going on in the church. Or I'm going to just show up in the way that I gesture, the smile that I offer, the touch that I give. Everything that's going to be communicated through me is that I am available to the Lord to use me to strengthen his body this morning. And guess what? All of you can leave even if you didn't have a set purpose to show up today and, you know, be a host like my wife this morning or to sing or to do children's. All of you could be like, who needs encouragement this morning? Who can I be praying for this morning? Who might I smile to this morning? Who can I take out to lunch after church? Like, what would it look like if somebody said, you know what, I'm going to get in the ministry just going out to lunch with people that I don't know because I want people to feel connected at Image Church, and I'm just going to be intentional in that way. In other words, you see what I'm saying? It's like, we don't have to be overly programmatic here at Image Church. We can just have some sensitivity outside of, are my needs being met in a self-service way of going to church? Did I like the message? Did I not like the message? Sometimes people skip parts of the service. They go, oh, I'm just going to skip the worship part. I'm just going to come for the message. I'm like, I don't think God's honored with that approach to church. So what I'm trying to say is we should come prayed up, ready to serve, eager to grow, desiring to know the people in our midst. And not only the people that we think that we're going to connect with. We have a familial responsibility to one another. We should desire to know people that aren't just like us. That's part of being mature. We should want to be stretched. We should, like, how do you do that? Ask people their stories. Take an interest in each other at this community. And this is all just for free, Paxton. I mean, I'm just sharing from my heart, you know. But I don't know if you've ever been taught how to come together. And if you haven't, it makes sense then. If you just think, I just show up to church and I just got a message and I kind of get in the car. What'd you think of the message? Pastor seemed a little ADD today, right? Yeah, probably forgot his Adderall. All right, so here we are and we're gathered. And I want us to look at what Paul has to say in 1 Corinthians 14 then, more specifically about gathering. And we're going through the book of 1 Corinthians, the dysfunctional church series. And this church is dysfunctional. And Paul, he tries to help them to understand what it should look like when they gather. And so I started thinking about what could it look like for us to gather? And so maybe you know people that have just been so checked out. They need an invite back to church. They just need to come home again. Well, what would it look like to say, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to be about that. I'm going to encourage people to get out of their comfort zone. Like we don't want to challenge people at all. All we want to do is make people feel as comfortable as possible. God forbid that in my past, that was the Christian's mindset, is to make Bobby feel as comfortable as possible in his lifestyle. That is not what I needed, was for some Christian to come up and go, oh yeah, you just do you. Oh really, just take another bong hit? Go on another acid trip? Do me? It ain't working. Tell me that I need something more. Invite me to a calling that's bigger than myself. Tell me to pick up a cross and follow it. Tell me to deny myself. Tell me that the reason I feel guilty is because I have sinned against the holy God. Tell me that. Don't make me look like I'm just perfect and I've got it all figured out. And I mean, we need to hear the truth, not just live our truth. And so in 1 Corinthians 14, Paul is going to share some things, and it might make us uncomfortable, as the Bible often does, but let's check it out. When we gather, I would say that first off, that each of us has a part to play in building up the church. That's what Paul wants to know. Look at verse 26. What then, brothers? Now, brothers, this is a general term. It's not referring to just men. It would be brothers and sisters. Some of your translations would say that. It was very common, really, until about 10, 15 years ago, to be honest, where you would just use, language like mankind, and nobody was offended, right? It was just mankind. It didn't mean men. It was just mankind, like humanity. And that's the way the languages work. Brothers, in the Greek, adelphos, and it's just a term that can be used specifically as male brothers or generally as brothers and sisters. This doesn't mean that they were being patriarchal, as some of the people would want to say it doesn't mean that Paul was bound up with toxic masculinity, right? These are our cultural terms that so we don't even see how much we're influenced by it. We don't even see it. And I think that we can understand what's going on there then. He's just speaking in general. And so he's saying brothers and sisters, basically. So when you come together, he's like, check it out. Each one has a hymn, a lesson, a revelation, a tongue, or an interpretation. Let all things be done for building up. So here we get some encouragement right now, right? Like when we come together, one purpose is to build up the church. So we're here, and each of us has, and he gives some different examples, and that's not an exhaustive list, right? It's like, hey, some of you have a tongue, and it, maybe if you're not used to going to church, you're like, well, don't we all have a tongue, right? Like, you know, what does that mean? And, you know, that's speaking of like a supernatural gift language that was given for people that would have this spiritual gift, and we're going to talk more about that in a little bit here. But notice what he says, you know, each of us has, and then he lists some of the different gifts. But he's not being exhaustive. What he's saying is each of us has a part to play. And if we don't figure out that part, then we're going to miss out on what's so beautiful about being a part of the church, is that we get to build it. And we're not talking about, you know, brick and mortar. The church is a body of collective believers, but it is not. Some people have the mindset, well, I am the church. Yeah, but you're not meant to live independent of the church, which is a body, right? Metaphorically speaking, with many members. And we all make it up. And so the church is a collected group. We gather. And so you don't have to gather in a building, but it's nice to, you know, in the winter to have a building to gather in. And so when we gather, we build it up. We build each other up. And so when you think about that in your own life then, do you feel like you're being used by the Lord to build up your church? And you go, well, I don't know what to do. Well, just maybe you should begin, God, help me to be sensitive to what you'd want me to do. You'd be amazed how God can use you in just the simplest ways. Like Heather and I went to Haley's church, our daughter in Hawaii. And while we were there, there was this lady named Sally. And she was just such an encouraging lady to us. She just came up. She was sweet. She was friendly. And she was just an encourager. And I don't know if Sally was serving that day, but we would talk throughout the trip. Where's Sally at when we need her, right? Because Sally just saw us as guests at the church that day, and she was encouraging. And notice what's happened. She made an impact. I remember her name. We felt lifted up. Not only that, Sally made a difference in the way that I perceived Haley and Gideon's church. She made a big difference in the way I perceived the church because I thought, that is a friendly church. And man, do I like Sally, right? And so that's the thing. Like we're sending messages just even through our gestures. Our gestures, I can see it when I teach. I can sense resistance from some of you out there. I can sense it. I can feel it. I can sense warmth from some of you. I can sense I'm sketched out by you can feel it. You send messages. And that's okay. Like if I'm sensing resistance, I'm like, okay, I hope you'll soften up toward me here because I'm not your enemy. I'm just wanted to encourage you. Like my motivation in teaching this morning is to help you to get the most out of life. My motivation, everything I'm saying right now is for you to experience all that God has for you. That's what my heart's desire is for you right now, to get that. And so you each have a role to play in building up the church. And so a hymn, a lesson, a revelation, a tongue, or an interpretation, let all things be done for building up. And so one of the things I'm excited about, like this is church Sunday morning, but we have Discipleship U. We're meeting this Wednesday. I'm going to be talking on the doctrine of the Trinity. If you're not familiar, if you've never been taught, like this is who is God, that we believe in a triune God. Come Wednesday night, I'm going to talk to you about who God is. Like what does it mean to say you believe in a triune God, that God is one in three persons? But you come out that night, one of the things that we want to discipleship you as well is some body life time. Does anybody have a word of encouragement for us? Does anybody have a prayer request? Does anybody need prayer? It's a body life time that I think that we can do more of what Paul's talking about here in that kind of a setting. And so I want to encourage you to realize that you have a part to play. Can you imagine if you worked at a construction site, and all of the workers, the construction workers, they showed up and they listened each day to the crewmen share kind of about the blueprints, but you never built. You just heard the crewmen talk about the blueprints all the time, but you never built. A lot of people approach church like that. Like they're a part of the church, but they're not building it. They just hear about the blueprints and they think because they've heard about the blueprints that they're growing. God wants you to do more than learn about the blueprints. He wants you to be a part of developing the architecture of the church. And I don't say this at all to shame you. I'm saying this to say there's something that's going to happen. We're going to all stand before the Lord someday, right? And we've been forgiven. And I don't want to stand before the Lord someday and miss what it means to invest my life in what matters most. Some people think about retirement. You know what? The Bible says nothing about retirement. In fact, I don't want to retire and I don't plan to retire. Like that's an American idea. The fact is you get enough money, you retire, and then you just start dying because you're just living for yourself, traveling around collecting seashells. And God's not going to be impressed with our seashell collection. He's not going to be impressed with all the different areas that we visited because we had so much money to live for ourselves that we no longer need to depend on God. Now, if you want to retire, that's great, but if that means I want to have so much money that I can be financially free, well then, if you have that kind of freedom, I hope that your mindset as a Christian be that I can be generous with the resources I have to help build up the kingdom with my resources, that I'll give myself away in service for free, to give gifts, to give mentoring, to offer my life. Like, that's the worst thing that can happen is to get to a place and retire and just check out on life. Now, I get some people need a break. My dad worked until he's 78 years old. The man can take a break. And I get that we slow down. But we shouldn't think that in retirement, we just quit living. Because guess what? The older ones should be pouring into the younger ones. And when I think about when I'm 75, I want to just be discipled. I hope that I have had enough money where I don't have to take a paycheck. And where my wife and I just envision pouring into people, serving people, helping people to know how to live, passing on wisdom, giving guidance, giving my life away till the day I drop. That's what God wants for us. So look at your life that way. You're to give yourself away. I'm trying to give you vision for what that means, and you can't do that without gathering. You can't do that without having a song, a hymn, something that you can invest in others. So when we gather, we have a part to play. And guess what? Even when I went to Haley's church, Heather and I had a part to play. Even though we were guests in that church, I took time to encourage Haley's pastor because I thought, Mike, I want to thank you for the way you're loving my son-in-law and my daughter. They really like this place. I was hopeful that when I left that the pastor felt encouraged by us even being there as guests. It wasn't my job just to show up and criticize the church. Like this church is they're good on this and they're bad on that, as if I am the perfect interpreter of what is good and what's bad. We live that way sometimes too. Like we're the arbiters, right? Like I'm showing up. Like I told Haley, it's a different kind of church. I said, it's okay, honey. You don't have to be in a church like the one Dad raised you in. There's lots of other churches and you can learn something different and you can invest and help building up the church with your gifts. And I can't tell you how much it delights our heart to see our daughter leading in a massive church there and leading in worship. They love her. And she's getting up and she's just singing unto Jesus and worshiping the Lord. And her and Gideon are sold out. They're living their life for others. That makes my heart happy. Doesn't that make your heart happy, honey? They get that. And we have to teach our kids that. All right. We got some other verses to track through. And in classic Bobby fashion, we've made it through one verse. So...
thank you for checking out this episode of Christianity Still Makes Sense. This show is just one of the many resources available to those who are doubting their Christian faith. You can also find others at ChristianityStillMakesSense.com. This is a listener-supported show, and your gift of any amount helps shows like this continue. Click on the donate link on our website. Also, catch Bobby on Pastor's Perspective, where he answers your questions. Finally, if you're watching on YouTube, be sure to click subscribe and check out our other videos on the channel. This show is sponsored by K-Wave and Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa.